You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
To 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about emotional expressivity in relationships as well as interpersonal emotional regulation. Those things and how they impact intimacy in a relationship, as well as societal anxiety or social anxiety and how that impacts the ability to express one's emotions with your partner, as well as regulate them. This study is specifically called Emotion Expressivity and Regulation in Romantic Relationships, and then Understanding the Role of Social Anxiety. So can you be socially anxious, yet very close with your partner? Ready to get started on this?
Yeah, sounds interesting.
So why is emotional communication the key to love? It's actually the glue also. So communication of emotions in a relationship is the glue to love. Romantic interests thrive not only on shared interests, like we've spoken about, and physical attraction, but also on how well partners understand each other. And how we each respond to each other's emotions. So in this study by Schott and Mickelson in 2023, it explores these things. It explores how expressing one's emotions, as well as regulating your emotions in interpersonal communication, how that affects the relationship, as well as we go again, to talk about social anxiety. Emotional communication matters more than we think. So two people can get along perfectly well, like never have a fight. In fact, that's one of the questions here, which is, have you ever seen two people who seem to never have a fight?
Yes.
However, do you think they have a good intimate relationship?
Could be. Who knows?
Could be. Yeah. Just because you don't fight doesn't mean you have a close relationship. And that was one of the outputs of the study. So when is the last time you told your partner, and this is for our audience, how you really felt? Like, are you able to do that? When's the last time you did that? Are they receptive to your communication? Do they listen? Do they have empathy? Do you feel like you can share that? One, without criticizing, but just how do you feel? How do you feel about the relationship? Mm-hmm. We talk about that too. It's the how I feel, not how you make me feel.
Yeah.
Right? So when's the last time you told me how you feel?
That is also the way. It's how you see the situation versus the real situation, because the reality is depend of the vision of everyone. So I can see something different that you see. Maybe it's the same object. But the how I feel is more how I feel when something happened with you.
When this happens, this is how I feel.
Yeah.
Not you make me feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you said, two people can take the same impulse and have different reactions. So yeah. It's really important to separate the stimulus from the effect. The effect of the stimulus, you make like jalapenos and somebody else may not eat them at all. And you both can take a bite out of it, and one can be, oh, this thing is burning my mouth, it's terrible. And the other could be like, give me more. Now, in a relationship, we can have a situation, we'll call it the jalapeno of the situation, right? It's that situation that one finds, you know, innocuous, that one finds like it's just a general situation, but the other one can be reacting like it's the most bitter, burning sensation, and react in a way that the two don't understand each other.
Yeah.
Which one's right?
Both. Not really.
Both are right. So we need to understand that. We need to talk about situations as if they're jalapenos. Right? So what? Maybe that's the question. Is this a jalapeno?
But and also one question that you made is, who is right? If you just start one conversation looking for who is right, it's the wrong way to looking for, because the idea is not looking for who is right or no, is understand each other. So be right sometimes is something that you miss in the conversation.
You're right. But you're absolutely correct in the fact that if we start off this argument by who's right, well, somebody who has my perspective feels they're right. Someone who has your perspective thinks you're right. Now, if you have a third-party perspective, an objective observer perspective of the situation, you might say, you're both wrong. Or you could say, you know, there's a little bit of each of you being right in the situation. You know, the jalapeno is a little bit too spicy, but some people like it. The reason I bring up jalapeno is because it's very easy, I think, for people to understand that something that many people like I don't like. Mm-hmm. I'll have nachos or I'll have salsa, and I'll say, no jalapenos. I used to work at Bennigan's when I was young. I worked there for 6 years, and they had these great, tremendous nachos, you know, the beef and cheese and all that. But you'd have to say no jalapenos, because as soon as there was a jalapeno on it, it would just ruin that mound of cheesy delight. You know, so you'd have the
for
chip.
You.
For me. Mm-hmm. But then I'd go with a friend of mine, Paul, and he would just eat jalapenos out of a jar. So he'd be like, no, give us the jalapenos. And I'd say, can we put them on the side? What is relationship health? That's part of this question, is that this is all feeding back to relationship health being a subset or being an output of emotional expressivity, interpersonal emotional regulation, as well as the moderation of social anxiety. And so we have to understand, how do we define relationship health? Mm-hmm. Some of the things we talked about were in that definition. Let's look at that. So some of the core measurements of relationship health, they're satisfaction. It can be physical satisfaction, it can be sexual satisfaction, it can be like that intimacy from touch and closeness in a physical sense. Do you feel fulfilled, safe, happy in this relationship? That's the question you ask. Do I feel fulfilled and happy? Mm-hmm. How about intimacy? Is there mutual vulnerability? We talked about that. Empathy, emotional closeness, where you can share your innermost feelings with the other person. That's part of relationship health. Finally, closeness. Do you feel like you are a team working together? Do you remember how we spoke about, like, sometimes the most trust and closeness and connection comes from going through difficult times together, working on a solution together, and solving it? Like, oh, we're having a flood in a house somewhere, and we got to figure out how to fix it. And we figure out it's this valve, and we replace it, and we call the right people. And it's a stressful situation. We're both at wits' ends because we can't find the right plumber, the right equipment, and it's two towns over. We're away when this is all happening. We have a problem. We work through it. We find the solution. And at the end of that, we feel more like a team. So do you feel like a team?
And also, best upon that, maybe for many couples, I don't know, but maybe we're talking about us, is that we have a strong leadership. So everyone at the same time want to be the lead of the team. And the, when you're working in team, sometimes you need to be a member of the team. Sometimes you can be lead, but to lead is difficult.
We're co-leaders of our team, of two people.
Yeah, so that is, I guess, our challenge. And I guess that we start to learn, because we do many, many projects in home construction. Sure. And sometimes I act in like, okay, I want a part of your team. Sometimes I take the power and say, no, I have to... management that, and I don't know what happened with you.
Well, sometimes I think you're the team scheduler. Like,
okay,
I'm going to go do this today. No, I'm going to do it. You know, it's like you have the you have the motivation to get it done today. Because I want to be part of the team to get it done. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'm a little bit more, what is that called? I put things off a little bit. I procrastinate just a little bit. Just a tiny bit. And you like getting things done.
Yeah, I use my technique. I start to do for myself. Yeah. So you jump in and take it easy. And I say, help.
It's like that little video on there, where the woman's been asking her boyfriend or husband to hang a picture on the wall for weeks. Mm-hmm. And she's about to ask again. And she says, honey, can you show me how to hang this picture on the wall? And he's like, oh, yes. And he gets the tools and he's hanging it on the wall. And she's like, wow, that's how you do it? And then it's done. And he's kind of like thinking, oops, did I just get manipulated?
No, it's love.
What love is. So these categories that we just talked about, they're not emotional snapshots, meaning they're not just a point in time. They're continuously evolving things. Again, satisfaction, intimacy, and closeness. It doesn't mean that how you are at one moment in time is how you're going to be at the next moment in time. It just means, are they all getting better and staying stronger, or getting stronger and getting better over time?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, are you going in a positive direction or negative? The other four things that we spoke about in there, which are kind of subsets, we'll call them subdimensions of intimacy or relationship closeness, are mutual trust. Again, the belief that your partner is honest, dependable, and has your best interests at heart, right? Mutual trust.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, empathy, the ability to feel with and for your partner. Empathy builds bridges when things feel disconnected. I need to understand how you're feeling rather than judging you.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you feel that way? Again, you feel a certain way because of your perspective. I need to start understanding your perspective to understand your feelings. If I'm maybe disconnected with your feelings by themselves, let me understand why you may have those feelings by, again, understanding more about you and your background and what leads you to having these feelings. How did you grow up? That was actually the fourth piece before, which was understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I need to understand, communicate, and basically build an underlying subconscious together with you. We talk about that in neuroplasticity. As a couple, your brains are continuously evolving. The more things you do together, the more your brains have certain structures that are built together simultaneously that connect you in a way of being able to understand the other better. When you discuss where you grew up, where did you go to school, what are your values, what are your beliefs, what are your friends like, the things that scare you, you know, what are your accomplishments? Just the more you discuss those things, the more you build synapses and neurons in your brain that have a connection with the other person that allows you to understand them better.
And you need to listen to the other person's history and stuff, because sometimes people is just thinking in yourself, you know, thinking in the others. Yeah.
How is this impacting me, what she's saying right now? Instead of understanding how it impacts her.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to understand what you're telling me now, how it impacts you and your view of the world.
Yeah.
So understanding is so much of an important thing. How about vulnerability? We talked about vulnerability again.
Mm-hmm.
I need to feel that I can share something with you and that you're not going to criticize me or attack me.
Or judge you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have Judy for that.
No, I'll go this way.
No? All right. Okay. Forget that. We're not going to talk about any judge by the name of Judy at all.
No.
No. So these qualities do flourish under the umbrella of intimacy, right? So the more close you are in a relationship, these qualities and the others that we talked about, they'll flourish. Here's an everyday example. So a couple can disagree about money. Instead of shutting down or blaming the other, I can try to understand why you feel the way you do about the situation. I feel afraid for our finances, honey. I need your help. I need your help in understanding where we are. Can you explain this to me? Hey, can you show me how to hang the picture, right? Not, hang the picture, talk about finances.
Mm-hmm.
I feel unsure. Could you help me understand this better? And that changes the perspective and the direction how the other person approaches you. So part of that is getting back to what we talked about at the beginning of this show, which is the ability to have interpersonal emotional regulation. It is sort of like emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
How it differs is interpersonal emotional regulation is directly between two people. It's how we regulate our emotions together as part of this relationship. Whereas emotional intelligence is how I regulate my emotions in order to regulate your emotions. Sometimes it can be a little bit, and I don't want this to be sound wrong, a little bit manipulative. Meaning, I'm at work and I'm in a department that I'm trying to help. I can't have an interpersonal emotional connection to each and every individual person. So I need to have an emotion that allows the situation to have the best outcome for the most people, despite any one difference there may be. I might treat each person individually different than the group. So IER, in interpersonal emotional regulation, is between two people. So here's another one. What do you think your partner needs from you right now? And here's a couple of ideas: trust, empathy, vulnerability, or understanding. It's a good question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Where we are in our relationship right now, what's the next thing we should work on? Mutual trust, vulnerability, empathy, or understanding? Or are they all combined? Like, if you work on understanding, are you automatically working on empathy?
Yeah. I guess that the I thinking in process. So if you trust, and trust is something really high and deep, because you need to trust yourself. So mm-hmm. people sometimes cheating himself, you know what I mean? So you lie to yourself because you want to believe something that you know is not true. And the same way you see the mirror reflection in your partner. So when you sometimes attack somebody for trust, it's because maybe you have a trust issue. So thinking always in the mirror, you know, I reflect my feeling in you, and then I see everything that suppose is wrong with you, but it's wrong with me. So I guess when you can remove the trust, you can move forward to empathy. If you not trust, you cannot be, also vulnerability, you cannot be vulnerable with somebody that you not trust.
So. Exactly. So these are all tied together in mm-hmm. that way. I was just thinking as you were talking about that, it's like if you're acting a certain way and it goes against your values, your beliefs, and your thoughts, you know, you get that cognitive dissonance where you feel you feel out of touch. Now, I witness something happening with you, and already internally I feel bad about something internally in me, and there's that tension I already have,
mm-hmm.
and that tension snaps, and then I take it out on you, although it's something that's impacting me internally.
Mm-hmm.
So just remember that when we are not being congruent in our thoughts, our actions, our words, our values and our beliefs, when our subconscious, unconscious, and conscious mind are not all at one, all at peace, that when there is tension internally, an outside stimulus may snap that tension. And that may actually be a reflection on something, as you said, internally,
mm-hmm.
that we are not good with.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we'll talk more about this subject on 90 Day Soulmate. Victoria experiences the past, present, and future while sleeping. Will she be able to decipher the mystery of the symbols, messages, and images of her dreams before it is too late? Discover the lives she lives while Victoria dreams. 90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. We're back. 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about a lot of stuff, but the main thing was emotional expressivity in a relationship, interpersonal expression, or actually interpersonal emotion regulation. We talked about social anxiety. We haven't actually gotten into that yet. But we were talking about trust or mutual trust, understanding, vulnerability and empathy in a relationship. This is a great subject. And in the break, we were talking about how can you
be vulnerable with somebody that you don't trust.
Right. Now, if somebody in the past, like you shared with them a secret, and all of a sudden all your friends found out about it, and now you're going, okay, I need to be vulnerable with them again. Can I be?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't trust.
Yeah.
Right? Or they in the past they hurt you. Look, say you had a bad relationship with somebody and you don't trust them. And now you're like, they're saying, let's get back together, and you still have feelings. And so you start to get back together, but now you've got this feeling that you can't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
How, like, have you actually cut off the ability to have that close relationship because you can't break that past break of trust? You can't cement over it.
Yeah.
It's there was no rebar put in the cement.
Mm-hmm.
You know that it's all rusted.
Yeah.
And you try to build cement on top of a bad foundation. What happens? You know it's going to snap again.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to break.
Yes.
So let's talk about relationship specific emotion expressivity.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that? It's the ability to express your emotions in a relationship. And it's almost exactly what it is. So it's specific in the relationship is your ability to express the emotions. For instance, if you have high relationship specific emotion expressivity, you're open to sharing your feelings. You're comfortable expressing joy, sadness, anger, or affection. This is separate from vulnerability, empathy, understanding. It's just how you are, that you have the ability and you're open. It's like an openness to sharing of feelings. It's a personal mm-hmm. trait. It doesn't matter who it's with, but that's some people are not open to that.
Yeah.
Number two, emotional availability. Being emotionally present when you're expressing your emotions with your partner
mm-hmm.
and not shutting down, not shutting off, listening, and not closing off your mouth or your ears to the conversation.
Yeah.
Right? And then lastly, authenticity is not masking your true feelings because you're afraid of yourself being too vulnerable or you're afraid of hurting the other person. How you deliver the message is very important because we don't want to say you make me feel a certain way,
mm-hmm.
but I feel this way when this situation happens.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help me understand the situation? You know, that it becomes a non-attacking
yeah.
expression.
Yeah.
Here's an example in a relationship. How about that? One partner comes home very stressed from work and says, I had a terrible day at work. And I feel like I'm failing. The other listens and offers comfort instead of judgment. They don't try to come up with a solution of what they should do the next day, but they try to just understand what happened and why do you feel this way and just understanding the feeling. So that's emotional expressivity, but it's not only the person sharing their emotion, but it's the person who is receiving the emotion. Mm-hmm. It's like expressivity is a back and forth. It's a two-way transmission.
Okay.
Communication. When your partner shares tough emotions, and this is for our audience as well, when your partner shares tough emotions, do you feel closer when they do this, or does it make you uncomfortable? And you know how I have been in the past, and I've been much better with you.
Thank you.
I never wanted emotions as part of a relationship. There should never, ever be emotions in a relationship. It should just be two people that are happy and get along and do things that, you know, that personally, I'm sure there are people out there like me who don't like jalapenos, that they don't like emotions. Because maybe spicy jalapeno is emotions in a relationship to you, right? So a jalapeno to me is emotion in a relationship. And I don't want to touch it. I don't want it. I'd move it out of that nachos. You know, it's not in the relationship. No jalapenos in that relationship. And somebody else is like, I eat jalapenos. I love them. They want the emotion in the relationship. In fact, they have the nachos extra jalapenos. Nachos being an analogy or metaphor for relationship
mm-hmm.
is, do you like your relationship with or without jalapenos?
Light with emotion, because can be called so cold or superficial or empty relationships. You need to have balance. So you don't have to be in the drama always, but sometimes you need to have emotion to feeling how connecting is with your partner.
So now I'll have, like, instead of just mild sauce for my chips, mm-hmm. I'll have medium.
Okay.
You might like the hot, but I'll have the medium because I want to be able to share with you. Mm-hmm. You go from your hot sauce and I go from my mild, and now we come in the middle somewhere and say medium. Just a little bit of spice, right? Mm-hmm. And then we can come together on not too much emotion, not none. Mm-hmm. And we each get more comfortable expressing the emotions as the other person would like us to do.
Yeah.
And we come closer together, that's intimacy. Mm-hmm. That's expressivity. That's interpersonal, emotional regulation.
Yeah.
Is knowing how to share the jalapenos just enough where one person isn't overwhelmed and the other is not crying for more spice in their life.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to put that down as a new analogy. You know what? We're on to our next subject here, which that was emotional expressivity. Let's talk about interpersonal emotional regulation. It's kind of like the opposite of dysregulation. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago we had dysregulation, emotional dysregulation, as part of couples. And that was part of, I believe, couples therapy. We looked at empathy and emotion dysregulation. And if somebody was unable to control their emotions, it was very hard for that relationship to build. In a relationship, maybe you want to change the way you communicate. You want to change the way you talk to your partner. Is that snapping into a new personality, or is that slowly adding additional tools and pathways in your brain as you learn more ways of communicating? You know, we talk about being vulnerable, mutual trust, empathy, and understanding, and go, okay, let's focus on those four things. As we learn more about those four things, we slowly change and bring those into our relationship. You can't just snap into that.
Okay.
Okay, so trying to make an analogy of being crazy and not, is that you can act a certain way and just pretend to be a certain way, or you can learn a new way of behaving. Okay, where are we here? So interpersonal emotional regulation, empathic support, comfort, listening, and validating the other person's emotions. That's part of it. Reframing situations, helping your partner see challenges in a different way to help them understand them and to help bring them off the ledge when they're very emotionally distraught. And then finally, emotional encouragement, lifting your partner up without minimizing their feelings. So, you know, like sometimes it says, oh, snap out of it and be happy. No, I want to understand why you're not happy. Mm-hmm. And then maybe look at something a different way. And if you looked at it this different way, how would you feel about it? And you help them through the situation as a guide, as a partner, not as a motivational champion. Let's just smile, put on a happy face, act like it, and you'll become it.
Yeah. You know? Fake it after you make it.
Fake it until you make it.
Yeah.
So a partner panics about an upcoming family event. The other responds, it's totally okay to feel nervous about it. Let's make a plan together to get through it. How are we going to handle it together? You know, you're always going to come out the other side of an event. It may be that the event makes you stressed. It puts you in a nervous situation. But tomorrow, the event's over. You're out of it. Can you numb yourself down? Not by having an extra drink at the table, but can you calm your nerves to get through the event? And how does your partner talk you through that? That's part of interpersonal emotional regulation.
Okay.
Do you and your partner help calm each other down? Question for our audience. Do you and your partner help calm each other down, or do you make each other more anxious during stress? When you drop a piece of paper in the middle of a show.
How are you feeling?
I want to tear my hair out. Oh, I
can't. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's so silly. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about this subject. Maybe we'll get into social anxiety a little bit more. And we'll wrap up on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Victoria experiences the past, present, and future while sleeping. Will she be able to decipher the mystery of the symbols, messages, and images of her dreams before it is too late? Discover the lives she lives while Victoria dreams.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Social anxiety is the intense fear of being judged, rejected, or scrutinized, maybe even criticized, in social settings. It's more than shyness. It's more than just that. It's a persistent, life-impacting fear that often leads to emotional suppression, meaning I'm going to not be happy, I'm not going to be angry, I'm just going to go into this situation numb, like we just talked about. Mm-hmm. So anxiety is, I'm so anxious, I just kind of shut down. Symptoms would be avoiding social or intimate settings, you know, situations with a few people where you have to discuss stuff and you're anxious. Fear of embarrassment or saying the wrong thing. I'm not going to say anything because I'm always saying the wrong thing. Difficulty initiating conversations or emotional disclosures. And I know sometimes I've had that where if something happens to somebody, like somebody's friend passes away or somebody's has a difficult situation in their life, sometimes in the past I had much harder time saying anything. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. And it wasn't that I was trying to not show empathy or sympathy. It was, I just don't know what to say. I'm embarrassed that I'll say the wrong thing. And sometimes being vulnerable in a social situation to avoid social anxiety is to not fear saying the wrong thing because it's more important to show the other person that you are caring about their situation. And most people are forgiving of someone accidentally stating something a little bit awkwardly because they understand the intent. So it's knowing that your intent is good, although your words may not always come out the way you want them to.
Yeah. I see people, you mentioned social, sometimes acting different in the versus when you are in your home or your intimacy, you know, when you are in some area, you start to acting. I see many people acting different when is in the in one party, when one cafe, when one drinking social group, people acting and say, what is this person doing that? So what does it mean that? Why is it changed so much when you are in the social area versus intimacy 101?
If you're asking me why, or you're just making it as a general statement, there's two different things. Mm-hmm. So if you're asking me why, I think there's a couple of different reasons. One is you're so nervous that you can't be yourself. Like in a one-on-one situation, they may be relaxed and able to share. Just like the study found, and so you brought up a great thing, this study found that social anxiety, whether somebody is able to be free and have conversations when they're in a social setting, or if they're repressed and they are nervous and they don't say anything, that there wasn't a big impact on emotional expressivity in a relationship and or interpersonal emotional regulation. That
display me better so again, please.
You can have social anxiety and also have good interpersonal emotional regulation. Like when you're with somebody, I might be able to handle, you know, I can handle a little bit of that jalapeno. So now the social situation, the more people, the jalapeno gets bigger. So now we're talking about the jalapeno being a situation. When I'm with one other person and I'm talking, there's almost no spice. There's not anything that makes me nervous. But now as the group gets bigger and bigger and bigger, that to me becomes my jalapeno. And I just can't touch it. I can't be part of it. But
and I see the, I have a friend, the daughter is in the process for be more because she's so timid. So one of the exercise, the psychologist said, okay, we want to go to one cafe, and then she go with the doctor, and you need to talk with some strange people in the cafeteria.
Yes.
And she start to ask to my friend, say, how you start conversation with somebody that you don't know? And she's so scared for do that. So if some people, it's difficult to be social and feel, like that you say, anxiety or maybe frozen for, because don't know how broke the...
Sure. And what you just brought up was like a cognitive behavioral therapy session, it sounded like, that I'm afraid to be in public and talk to people, so I'm going to go out with somebody I know, my therapist, and I have to start a conversation with one person, a very simple conversation, and it's in a coffee place, so it doesn't have to be that long. Mm-hmm. It can just be simply, wow, I didn't realize the coffee was this price here. Or how long have you been coming? Do you like this place? Just anything.
Yeah.
But it's to start them down the path of seeing that they can express themselves socially. And the cognitive behavioral therapy is moving somebody through those steps of not having the interaction to having a little interaction, to starting to feel comfortable with that. And maybe also to see the benefit of being able to have those interactions. So yeah. It's working through that, but that's very interesting because it talks about social anxiety.
Yeah.
Wow. So in a relationship, people with social anxiety may suppress emotions, especially negative ones. So I'm not going to say anything negative because I don't want to feel bad, and I don't want you to feel bad, and I don't want to have to discuss the emotion with you. And they may also not want to be negative because they're going to fear that they're going to be judged by the other person. I don't want to be judged. Just leave me alone. Let me do it by myself. This suppression can lead to emotional distance. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to have a conversation of an emotional sort with my partner, so I'll avoid having conversations. Maybe they, again, like a jalapeno in the relationship, and I don't. And so I'll avoid the emotional conversation because, to me, any little bit of taste of that, and I'm fearful of it. So this is social anxiety or anxiety in a relationship, one-on-one. Turns out, though, that if you can have emotional expressivity and you can have your own interpersonal emotional regulation, even if you're socially anxious. And I like that point that you made, that a therapist can get you to start having that conversation. I think the biggest thing for all of us to get through some of these things is to understand in a relationship, in a good relationship. I said understand. That's the first thing. We need to have an understanding of each other and how we tick. What makes you you? Where you come from, what's your education, what are your parents like, what was your family background, where did you go to school, what was your, I'll say, economic upbringing, what's your thought and values on money, on religion, on the weather, on is the moon really there, did we ever land on it? That the more I understand about what makes you tick and why you feel the way you feel, the more I can understand how when I say things, you may react a certain way. So the understanding, we talked about then the mutual trust, that also comes from time, that you become consistent in your behavior and in your patterns. Consistency of behavior and patterns is when your unconscious, subconscious, your conscious all fit together. Your id, ego, superego are all acting in the same direction, congruent. Mm-hmm. We talked about that, not having the cognitive dissonance, not having the stress that snaps the band when something goes wrong, where it becomes an irrational conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So again, trusting that your partner doesn't have any stressed bands that are ready to snap, and that they're consistent in their behavior, congruent in their behavior, which means their thought, their actions, their beliefs are all the same.
Yeah.
So how do you know that? How do you know?
You need time. So you need to have experience with your partner to see when the people is really congruent. So if they say, I do exercise, and you need to show that you do exercise every day, and then is that the way that you see, oh, I eat healthy, when you see the what is the people eating when are together, you know?
We determined something a long time ago after we started this show, after writing her book 15 years ago, that the first book. We determined that there are these underlying, I'm moving a whole bunch of subjects together, so forgive me, that this cognitive dissonance, this somebody acts a certain way, but yet their thoughts and values are different. I meet somebody, they act a certain way because they're trying to impress me. I act a certain way because I'm trying to impress them. And yet, when I'm acting different from how I really am, there is this uneasy feeling within me, but I'll put up with it in order to get what I want. I want to go on a date with you. I want to go on another date with you. Mm-hmm. I want to do other things with you. So I'll act a certain way to impress you, to gain your trust. We came up with something a while back, which is said, you need to get into a stressful situation with your partner. Twofold. One is couples that go through stressful situations together and solve them together become stronger. Couples who go into stressful situations also see how the other person acts in that stressful situation. We made I don't even want to say it a joke, but we made a comment of, you met somebody, you're going out on a date. Don't do things that are like, oh, let's just go to a movie, or let's go eat dinner together. Let's make everything pleasant. You know what? Let's go on a hike together and let's forget our tent. Let's go on a hike together or camping together in a rainstorm and see what happens when we get flooded out. Let's see how the other person acts in a stressful situation. Let's meet their family. Let's meet their friends. Their friends are going to tell you more about that person than they ever will. You'll see how their friends are. If you don't like their friends, there's a good chance they are very similar to their friends. Otherwise, they wouldn't have them as friends. Don't say, well, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, they're not like their friends. Their friends are this way, but they're different. Most likely they're not. Putting yourself in a stressful situation earlier in a relationship, and I don't mean like terribly stressing, but playing sports together, doing something like traveling together. We talked about that as well. When you travel together and you come across problems,
yeah,
the hotel doesn't have your room, you're late for the flight, your bags are lost, you see how that person reacts and those rubber bands break, those cognitive dissonances snap, and then they become who they really are earlier than later. And you want to happen earlier than later.
And also remind me the chapter in the Victoria dream. Remember when Victoria have the first date in the theater movies, and the car, the guys, is the control remote is broken. So that is the first and the last dating for her, for me. And then it's a critical situation that you see people cannot handle, and you say, okay, I cannot be here with you.
Yeah. So a situation that's not not simple, so a little bit more complex, a problem that you solve together or you don't solve together. But it's like going through, okay, we have a 12-day blackout. There's no power. What do we do? How do we survive? How do we go get water? Do we walk downtown and carry bags with us and put some water bottles in and walk back? Or does somebody just start going crazy and yelling and ranting? And, you know, how come you didn't see this coming ahead of time? How did we get here? Is it your fault? Rather than let's solve it together.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things, is to find out more about your partner, to understand more about them. You want to do that as early on as possible. Finally, what predicted best relationship health? At the beginning, we talked about a closeness in a relationship on how those four things, along with intimacy, closeness, do you feel satisfied in your relationship, how that meant you're having a good, healthy relationship. So the key findings of this study, which studied the relationship-specific emotional expressivity said that high emotional expressivity within a relationship predicted better relationship health. That the ability to express your emotions clearly, plainly to your partner would be an indication that you have a healthy relationship. But only through IER, interpersonal emotional regulation, you can express your emotions well. You have a great wealth of tools to express your emotions, but you also are able to regulate your emotions.
And this is to a strong skill. It's not easy to have or development, but that is maybe the challenge for everyone.
Because some people don't express them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good. And others express their emotions a lot, but don't regulate them. And that's not good. So we want expressivity with regulation.
And also identify the right feeling. This is not easy because maybe you sometimes you feel, I am angry or sad, you know? So what happened? What is, so it's your own analysis to figure out how you feel. And then you can explanation and Google how you're feeling without damage, collateral damage.
I have to understand how I feel in order to express how I feel rather than just blurt it out. So even people with high social anxiety can benefit from expressing emotions in their relationship as long as there's mutual support and emotional co-regulation, meaning both of us can regulate our emotions, that we have the ability to express emotions to the extent that the other is accepting of those emotions of those emotions at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, let's go into what we can learn and do as a result of all this. If I can find the right page.
Mm-hmm.
Takeaways. Express emotions openly, but especially with your partner. So you can express emotions openly at work with friends. That's great, along with having the emotional regulation, but it's especially important to do that with your partner. Number two, support your partner's emotions as if they were your own. We talk about building our brains together and having more synapses and more neurons. The more we work together and discuss things, the more we are similar. If you understand where your partner's coming from and you see they have an emotion, feel that that's your emotion as well. When you start feeling that your partner's emotion is your emotion, that's when you really are connected. Mm. I like that.
Yeah.
Even if you struggle with social anxiety.
I'm feeling you.
So even if you struggle with social anxiety, connection is still possible.
Mm-hmm.
I like the example you gave of the therapy inside the coffee shop. Little steps.
Mm-hmm.
Empathy is the bridge between people. Feel with your partner, not just for them. Feel with them. Again, your partner's emotion is yours. I want to feel your emotion and understand where it's coming from. Finally, regulate your emotions together. Your calm, you being calm, can calm me down. Me being calm can calm you down. I like that. So here's some things. What's some things that I do or can do to help calm you down when you're upset? That's something to ask your partner. What are things that I can do? Don't offer me solutions, just listen to me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mansplain. Okay. Don't womansplain. I don't even know what that is. Let me tell you what it is. Is there anything you hold back emotionally that you can share more often? Maybe. Mm-hmm. So today we talked about relationship-specific emotional expressivity. So talking about emotions in your relationship. We talked about interpersonal emotion regulation, regulating those. We talked about social anxiety and how even though we may have that, we can still have expressivity and regulation within our own relationship. We talked about little steps we can do to maybe reduce social anxiety, the coffee shop example, do a little thing in an innocuous way that's not that stressful and start building up that connection. Mm-hmm. Finally, we talked about intimacy and relationship health. Again, going back to mutual trust as part of understanding each other and where we come from as a function of time. The more time we are together in stressful situations that we solve together, allowing us to be vulnerable, as well as knowing our partner and we are displaying empathy in communication. I want to really thank you for sticking with us on today's show. Look forward to having a show in the future again with you.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.